voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well.
Good. I'm so glad. I was reading this morning, actually, in our newscast just a few minutes ago, some new information from Yale School of Public Health researchers warning of a possible vaccine-resistant strain of COVID here in Connecticut. And they're kind of alluding to the strains that were detected in South Africa and Brazil. What do you know about this? What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. And again, I think we just need to be careful about sort of data that's put out.
Mm-hmm.
I know it gets sort of translated into a bunch of different venues and different sources, and it can get diluted a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there are, you know, as this organism continues to infect, you know, millions of people, there is the possibility of having changes in mutations. And as there are mutations, there is a likelihood that the vaccine will become less effective. Now, remember, the effectiveness of this vaccine is actually really high right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 95% effective. So to get to the point where we would deal with, you know, either revaccination, it would have to be significantly lower. In fact, the some of the newer vaccines that are coming out, even the single-dose vaccines, are really closer to the 70%. So again, when we talk about, I don't necessarily like the word resistant because it sounds like, you know, you get the vaccine and it doesn't matter, and that's actually not the case.
Yeah.
It just means that it's not necessarily going to be as effective on certain strains, which has kind of been our concern anyways. You know, the more people that get infected, the more likely it's going to mutate and the more likely that we're going to have strains that are resistant. But when we say resistant and use terms like that and you know, kind of in the scientific and medical world, what we're talking about is again, a level of a decrease in a level of effectiveness.
I'm so glad that you kind of point that out, because I think the moment you're so right. I think that, you know, like, so I'm not clearly a doctor at all, not even a little bit, can't even play one on TV. But I think when you hear the word resistant, you immediately go from, okay, it was 95% effective to, oh, resistant, 0% effective. It's
right.
Amazing how our minds go there. You're so right. But that's not the case.
No, it's not. And I'm not aware of any organism that is 100%, you know, resistant to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, there's going to be a decrease. But again, given what this vaccine is developing antibodies to, because it's really focused on that attachment aspect. The attachment aspect is this spike protein or this S protein. I mean, it's not just one area. It's several different areas that this we develop antibodies when we get the vaccine. So as soon as this virus gets in, we eliminate it. But again, you know, that effectiveness can go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you kind of talking about that. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about how we keep saying we're sort of like in a race against the clock to try to get people vaccinated.
Yes.
You know, I was reading this morning that 1 in 4 Americans are dead set against not getting the vaccine. Of that 25% in America right now, based on recent data, about 19% of those people say that they just want to kind of wait to see what happens, like the effect in other people who get it. Could you maybe talk about, you know, the dangers of that? You know, like, I think it's interesting that, you know, again, 25% of the population, that's a big deal. That's a big chunk of people.
Right. Sure.
You know, and the fact that the majority of that is just kind of like a wait and see sort of a game to me. Not a game. I shouldn't say it that way. But it's like sort of the waiting game. Like, oh, let's see what happens in a year or 2 years or 5 years. Like, that could actually make the difference of kind of eliminating this thing or letting it get bigger. No?
Yes, that's exactly right. So as for other viruses and bacteria that we vaccinate for, I know we see that scattered. So there could be potential outbreaks, but they're limited because a lot of people have been vaccinated. This is a little bit different because this organism is so contagious and has not ever been seen in the human population before. It's just going to go widespread. So a lot of people think of it as a lot of people describe it as sort of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think of sort of the wildfires in California, you think about it sort of the only way that we can actually stop those wildfires is actually building, a dam, a river, or even clearing out an area so it can't continue to move. Mm-hmm. If you imagine if you have it too small, it won't matter, right? Yeah. The fire will continue, will hop over that little area of clearing and then go into the other trees and continue to go. What we're trying to do is we're trying to expand that out. If we don't expand that out, and that's what the vaccine does, if we don't expand that gap out, then people are going to continue to get infected. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. that means is exactly what we were talking about. The more people that get infected, the more mutations there are, and then all the people who've actually been vaccinated have to get revaccinated.
Wow.
And it becomes sort of this you know, terrible cycle.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a worst-case scenario. Either that or everybody gets infected, and then, you know, that gap is already there. You've already burned down all the trees.
Right.
Which we don't want to happen because, obviously, you know, we know there's a vulnerable population. We know right now that there's, you know, 1% of the population who actually gets infected with COVID-19 die. And, you know, we don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, Dr. Brown, and honestly, you could kind of weigh better on this. But, you know, I would say decades, long time ago, when there were other maybe diseases like this and they came out with a vaccine or something, like, I feel like there was never as much question into medicine. Like, I feel like there was never this much controversy in question. Like I say a lot of times to my listeners, I understand being curious about what is in medicine, what is in your vaccine. But like I take my life, for example, and the only reason I have lived 30 years, as long as I have, is because a big part of that is my doctors, like my doctors and what they've recommended and what they've put me on and what they've taken care of me or whatever the case may be. And I just think it's interesting that we live in a society right now where it feels like there is just so much more question. Like, to me, I mean, it's one thing that we have a shortage of the vaccine. It's another that people just willingly don't want to get it. I think it's fascinating, not in a good way. You know,
it's really interesting, and it's sort of the question and the distrust. And, you know, I think there's always been conspiracy theorists that are out there. I think the difference now is that there's a lot of venue. You know, there's no back in the day,
that.
You know, you'd go to the park and you can actually talk on your soapbox, right? Because mm-hmm. that's where it came from, and talk about sort of all the things that are there. Mm-hmm. Now I think there's a lot of information that's put out there that's just not true.
Yeah.
Or that it's information that, you know, you don't quite understand the science related to it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and you say, okay, you know what, this is, you know, protein attaches here, or this protein's named the same. Oh, so it's got to be the same thing. And science is a lot more complex.
Yeah, it is.
I will tell you that, I'll give you sort of a quick fact. There's a Dr. Morris Hillman. He's actually the father of modern vaccines. This mm-hmm. is an interesting quote. So this guy invented 40 different vaccines. It's estimated that because of his vaccines, they have saved 8 million people a year because of these vaccines.
Wow.
Including the MMR, et cetera. So, again, we've come to a point where, and even then, I mean, back then, the vaccines weren't as, and I'm going to say pure, not necessarily natural, but more limited ingredients, very well-documented ingredients,
yeah.
You know, very, you know, known what's in it, what they do, and how it actually goes.
Yeah.
So it's sort of interesting because the vaccine has become, is the science is more complex, but the ingredients are actually less.
Wow, that is really interesting.
It's fascinating. So I agree with you, and I think people need to make sure that they're listening to the right people.
Yeah.
You know, that people are listening to specialists, people who actually kind of know what's going on.
Literally went to school for this.
You know, if you have a question, talk to your doctor.
As many of our listeners know, our entire family contracted COVID, and our immunity is up at the end of the month. So we're going to Florida next week. And, you know, my sister-in-law, you know, who's, you know, very nervous with her one-year-old, will ask a lot of questions because she knows I'm in direct contact with you. And I was saying to her, you know, the reason I feel like this trip for me is such a big deal is because we have immunity. It's a big deal that we all have immunity, and it's time to take, it's like for us to take advantage of it. So that's why I'm excited to go. And she said, right, but once the vaccine is kind of rolled out and everything, like, it, you know, we could always go next year. And I said to her, and I could be wrong, this is where I'd love for you to step in. I said to her, if we're relying on a country to make the decision whether or not we're going to get enough people vaccinated, That's what makes me nervous, because I look at anyone who's under the age of 16, like, I can't get Chase vaccinated. If I could, I would. I would honestly do it. If you told me, yes, you should get your 2.5-year-old vaccinated, I would believe you. I would trust you, literally. But I can't. I can't do that. So, like, my question to you is, if we don't get enough people vaccinated, you know, what does that mean for our kids? Like, what does that mean for, you know, people's grandkids or kids who can't get the vaccine? Like, what does their life sort of look like if we can't get enough people vaccinated?
So there's sort of two points to this. The first is that, you know, we are right now, I would say, lucky to say that the effect of COVID-19 on children is minimal. Mm-hmm. And again, I talk in sort of big picture. So that's actually one good thing. So the bad thing is that they will be susceptible if we don't get enough people vaccinated. So the whole trick is actually getting it into, and you've heard this term before, herd immunity. So the more people that are actually vaccinated, the less likely it is that people will be able to get infected. Again, back to sort of what I was talking about in the fire, the more people that are there, mm-hmm. the less likely that virus is actually going to spread from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get infected, you know, if you get infected and then you run into two people who have already been either vaccinated or had it before, have natural immunity, then it doesn't go anywhere, mm-hmm. and it stops.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those people actually is susceptible, then it goes that person, and then they come across other people, and that continues onward. So, yes, it is concerning. I mean, the vaccine is not just for yourself. I think a lot of people have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should I get it for myself? And again, in that decision, you're going to decide, you know, do I, you know, want a chance getting the complications or potentially even dying from COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
or do I want to get a vaccine that's, you know, it's very effective and looks like it's doing fantastic even for the longer term studies that are going. So that's sort of where we are with it right now. So again, the importance of this vaccine is not just for ourselves, but it's actually for everybody else.
Yeah,
it's actually for your children and anyone else who have not been vaccinated. This is a lot different than other vaccines. If you choose, if someone chooses to get the measles vaccine or chooses, I should say, not to get the measles vaccine, you know, then they're putting that, let's say for their child, they're putting their child at risk. But if my child's already been vaccinated, they're not at risk.
Right. Because that's the thing I was trying to say to her was, I said, no, like, that's fine. You're right. We could go next year, you know, like, we could. But I will not put Chase on a plane if we don't have at least 70% of our population vaccinated. Like, I'm not going to just get him sick to get him sick, which means that, you know, that's a trigger effect. Like, now you're talking about, you know, kids not traveling or the economy going down again. Like, I just think there's this huge effect where either you've got parents who are just going to kind of keep their kids in masks shut in, or they're going to take the risks. And, you know, the only reason, like I said, I'm taking this chance next week is because we all have immunity. We all got it.
Right.
But, you know, if I can't put a shot in my kid's arm, I'm not putting him at risk if I don't have to. So I just was like thinking about that and wanted to know like your thoughts. But it makes sense. You know, I think you got to think about the fact that there's a whole population of people that, yes, overall, they should be able to get through it. No problem. But they also don't have the option to get vaccinated. Right. So all the more reason for us to do it.
Exactly. And that's why in a hospital, we are very much encouraging, you know, our staff to get it. And this is why 1As are really important, because 1As can potentially, again, they need to be careful for themselves, but they can also carry it to patients who may not be able to get the vaccine, you know, or may be too sick to get the vaccine, or may just have not been able to get it yet.
Right.
And so it becomes really important that, you know, that becomes a social imperative to get the vaccine. It's not just about us. It's sort of about everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes a lot of sense. Dr. Brown, always appreciate talking to you. Thank you for the extra time this morning, too. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Melissa.
Always the best. Thank you.